Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, still in speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, so he takes him into 39. At the 40, comes to the outside, 45. He's at midfield, runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow! Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I am here each and every week talking LSU football as LSU got another big victory yesterday. Let's see if we can get Daniel on the line here. Daniel Dickerson. Daniel, are you with me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Can you hear me better this time? Oh, awesome. Cool. Then it obviously was my internet connection because I was connected over my computer, but now much better over the phone. Daniel, welcome to Bengal Beat. You are the owner of Cajun Custom Figurines. That is correct?
That is correct.
Well, just tell us, what exactly is Cajun Custom Figurines?
Well, I'll tell you what. Cajun Custom Figurines is basically something that I came up with a few years back because, you know, I'm a huge LSU guy, and I love to collect stuff as well. And I couldn't find anything player-specific that I, you know, that anybody makes or sells. So I'm a history buff. So I started out making, you know, the old-timers like Wyatt Tittle, Steve Van Buren, and it took off from there. So basically what it is I can make – I just make a bunch of custom LSU stuff and figurine-based style, everything like that.
So basically what you wanted to do was, you know, you'd like to collect things. You're a huge LSU fan, but you couldn't exactly decide on what you wanted to collect. So you just started to make these figurines to collect?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people do make stuff, but, they make the popular players. Take Dominic Davis, for instance. No, there was nothing out there of Dominic Davis, so I build Dominic Davis figurines. The inner child inside of me wants, that's what I was doing, and it just took off from there, you know. For instance, Patrick Peterson, you know, he got drafted. I live in Arizona, by the way. And so Patrick Peterson gets drafted to the Cardinals, and I'm like, yes. So I build him a figurine, take it to him, and he went crazy for it. So I wound up building him some. I built some for Odell Beckham, Reuben Randall, you know, just
so is it
all
mostly
kinds of players.
So is it mostly the players that want these figurines, or are there, like, you know, just random LSU fans that also want these figurines?
Yeah, it's everybody. And it's just not just LSU. You know, I cater to, you know, other professional teams, college teams, high school. You got Pop Warner kids running around, I can do that too, you know. So, but the main thing is I do specialize in LSU and LSU alumni.
So what was it that made you want to do, you know, figurines over maybe, you know, just anything else?
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that. I like to do anything that's really art. And with figurines, I think I was at Toys R Us one day, and I seen a 6-inch figurine of, who was it? It was Joseph Addai. And I was like, oh, it's cool. And, but that's it. You know, I think with figurine status, there was, I think it's been Joseph Addai and Jamarcus Russell. And let's face it, there's so much more out there that needs to be done. So I took it upon myself, I started out doing full-size helmets, customizing full-size helmets, and I was like, you know what? I bet I could do smaller stuff. So I started doing figurines. So everything's basically done from head to toe, completely detailed. I'm the only one in the world that builds face masks for these things out of copper wire. So I touch base with everything. So I make everything from the 1900s all the way up to modern day. So, yeah, it was really interesting. I'm a history buff, too. I'm a nerd when it comes to it. So I really wanted to put detail into it and do things that nobody else has done.
So how long have you, well, when did you start making them? How long ago did you start making these figurines?
So I'd say about 4 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it
now
started
said,
off as
you
like
talked
a hobby. And then, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. You talked about, you know, you've done figurines for some of these players. So you've developed, you know, relationships with some of these former LSU greats like Patrick Peterson. And Tyrann Mathieu,
yeah.
I believe is what Hunter told me.
Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu. I did, as soon as he got drafted to the Cardinals, I did a Cardinals piece for him, and it got leaked onto Twitter from Instagram, and he picked up on it, and, yeah, we started a kind of like a social media relationship from there. Michael Brockers as well, Jacob Hester. Let's see. Yeah, Odell Beckham, like I had mentioned earlier. Quite a bit. There's so many I kind of forget. So, Corey Webster, Dwayne Bowe, just all kinds of stuff. The main thing is that we wanted to brush across, like with Leonard Fournette. Last year I made, when he did a Heisman pose after his touchdown, I recreated that, and I sometimes sell on eBay, and LSU actually hit me on that one. So technically I'm not supposed to make current student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And
did they specify when they contacted you, did they specify like why you couldn't, you know, sell something like that over eBay?
Yeah, it basically was talking about that it was okay for me to do what I do, and I can make people that aren't actually in school anymore, so alumni is perfectly fine, but I can't publicly sell current student athletes.
So I actually saw the picture. You showed me a picture of your Leonard Fournette figurine. So you, as of right now, as long as Leonard Fournette is enrolled at LSU, you are not legally able to sell that figurine?
Right. And,
well, I'll tell
you
what, it won't be the quicker. He's going to go to the NFL as soon as they allow him. So I promise you it won't be long before you can legally start selling the figurine, and then you'll be able to make the figurine of whatever team he goes to. So that's going to be a hot commodity, a figurine of him doing the Heisman pose, because let's hope he wins it this year. Right now he's ahead of everybody else, but we still have a lot of football left to be played. Man, if you ever can, too, man, you might have to hook us up with some interviews with some of these players. Man, it would be great to have them on here, too, talking football.
You know what? That is easy to do. You know, and that was the thing. I mean, I get so busy that, it took us a while to actually get this interview going. And, yeah, the connections I've got is really awesome. You know, not even just with LSU, period. I mean, like with just the SEC, I've met a lot of people through, you know, just doing what I do. And they've connected me to other LSU alumni that I haven't had a chance to. So, like some of the customers, too. I've got a customer in Baton Rouge that is really, really good friends with some of the old-timers from, say, like the 60s and 70s. And so I've got connects with Billy Cannon and Tommy Casanova. So, yeah, I mean,
well, I was about
knows?
To ask you, like, you know, who the oldest LSU player that you might have a connection with, but you just said Billy Cannon. I'm not sure if you can go beyond Billy Cannon, maybe a Y.A. Tittle or something. You don't have any connections with Y.A. Tittle, maybe?
You know what, maybe not right now, but it wouldn't take me too long to start pulling strings and see if I can, because I think he's the oldest one that's actually kicking right now.
I wasn't sure if he had passed away yet or not. I couldn't remember, but I would have remembered that, I believe. But, yeah, I think he's still around. I'm not 100% sure, but last I remember, he was still around, still kicking. So, yeah, that's cool that you've gotten to meet a lot of all these old LSU alumni football players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have, you know, because it wasn't too long ago, I'd say a couple of years ago, when Steve Van Buren passed away. And but he was Steve Van Buren was the first figurine that I made, and his family contacted me. And at first, you know, they weren't really too happy about it, you know, because most of these guys that retire from even, say, pro football, you know, their families, you know, because they have to deal with the card companies and any other type of business that, you know, that does make things with their likenesses and stuff like that. Some people push the whole thing where they want to get a cut out of it and stuff like that. And that's fine if I'm like a big business and I'm pumping these out left and right, but it's not. So that takes me to the next thing. You know, with these figurines, you know, it takes me, if my table's clear, takes me about 3 to 4 weeks to get something out, you know.
So from basically the start of the process to the end of the final product, it's 3 or 4 weeks to make one figurine?
Yeah.
So that is certainly a time-consuming project.
That goes up to about, like, say about 10 figurines, and then after that it gets pushed back to about 6 weeks.
Now, if somebody wanted to get a figurine of, you know, any kind of player or whatever, a player that you're legally able to sell at least, how, you know, where could they contact you? How can they find you on social media and whatnot? Give us all the information about where people can contact you if they want a figurine.
Social media, my main hub is Facebook. I do a lot of business through Facebook. I mean, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, but there's just so many groups and everything on Facebook, I kind of stick to that. So that's the main place. With Facebook, it's basically, you know, facebook.com/ Cajun Custom Figurines, and custom is with a K, so, yeah, Cajun Custom Figurines would be facebook.com/ Cajun Custom Figurines. From there, you know, they can contact me there, and most of the time, I bring them to my personal page, but I kind of go through the business page at first, so. Because I get some weird people, man.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, hey, look, stick around with me. We're going to go ahead and recap this LSU-Syracuse win yesterday. The LSU Tigers kept their winning ways going as they got themselves a nice road win at Syracuse by a score of 34-24. Once again, the big story was the running ability of Leonard Fournette. For the first time in school history, a running back has had back-to-back 200-yard rushing games. He rushed for a career best 244 yards after last week having his career best against Auburn, and he was only 7 yards away from breaking the single season game rushing record that was set by Allie Broussard against Ole Miss in 2004. So now for the season, he has 73 rushing attempts, 631 yards, averaging 8.6 yards per carry, and 8 touchdowns, which are only just 2 less than he had all of 2014. What are your thoughts on Leonard Fournette so far, just even this season?
Where do I start? Okay, with Leonard Fournette, with his season this year, especially that with our first game, that I was really disappointed. Since I'm not in Louisiana, you know, I have to have a different time frame than you guys. And I was a little disappointed. But to get back on subject here, Fournette, you know. I have compared him this year. I compared him last year, but this year especially, with the way he's been running with his average. I know we kind of pushed the run game over passing game for the past handful of years, but I think Brandon Harris, I think he's a go-to guy, and a lot of people might not like what I just said there, but that's okay. But with Fournette, I actually see I see the makings of, say, like Marcus Dupree, Herschel Walker, you know, those type of cats. With the record that he could have had, that's fine. I'm not really disappointed about that, just because, you know, we showed class on how we ended the game. I mean, we don't need to push it. We had it won, so that's fine. I honestly think he's gonna get the Heisman. Unless something dramatically happens, he's got the Heisman. I mean, unless there's a dark horse coming out, because right now I don't see anything. But we're still early in the season. But, yeah, I mean, his yards per carry is amazing. And he runs out there like a man amongst boys right now. So he's a machine. And I think we got...
Okay, Leonard Fournette right now, he's averaging 210.3 rushing yards per game, which leads the nation by 41.5 yards per game, more than the second-place rusher, which is Jordan Howard from Indiana. So nobody is even close right now as far as rushing yards per game. He's also third in the country in overall rushing yards with 631 rushing yards. And the other four backs who are in the top five with Fournette have all played an extra game already. So just, I mean, we all knew he was going to be great, but in my opinion, he's even exceeding the expectations that I'm, as far as I'm concerned, that I put on him. I mean, I knew he was going to be great. I thought he was going to come out with about 1,500 yards this year and about 15 touchdowns, but my goodness, he's making those numbers look like a cakewalk as far as, you know, Leonard Fournette is concerned. So we're going to quickly go over the scoring recap from yesterday. Of course, Leonard Fournette got it going 7-0 after a 14-yard run. Syracuse answered 7-3, and that was pretty much the first half scoring. LSU led 7-3 at halftime. Then second half, LSU opening drive. Trent Domain got a 21-yard field goal, and then Tre'Davious White sort of busted it open for the time being with a 69-yard punt return. Syracuse answered back, keeping it within a touchdown, and then, of course, Leonard Fournette answered back again with a 62-yard run. Then going into the fourth quarter, LSU had a 2-touchdown lead, but Syracuse kept fighting back. A few touchdown passes by Zach Mahoney kept it close, but LSU was able to run away eventually, 34-24. Let's look at some of the stats here. LSU actually had 157 yards passing, and it's funny, Daniel, you mentioned Brandon Harris is the go-to guy. I actually agree with you. You know, he's not putting up flashy numbers, but he's doing what the coaches are asking him to do, and he's being rather efficient, but not only throwing the ball, but passing the ball. So what are your thoughts as far as Brandon Harris throwing and running the ball this season? How will that affect LSU going forward?
I'll tell you this much. I mean, we can go back to, let's say, Jordan Jefferson. I mean, Brandon Harris he's got the mentality of where he can understand when he needs to throw it and when he needs to run it. And instead of just, you know, running out of the pocket because it collapses and then just trying to make a play happen and forcing the pass, he'll just tuck it and run it. And if he sees it, he'll take the throw. You know, and that's what you need, especially with a run first, you know, offense like what we do. You know, it hasn't changed. That's why we have so many running backs, you know, and we've had so many running backs at LSU and we've got so many in the pros right now. But Brandon Harris, yeah, I won't give up on him. And, you know,
oh, no,
we've always had that whole, we've always had the whole competition thing. You know, somebody does one little mistake wrong, they throw him under the bus and want the backup, or they want to switch him out with somebody else. You can't do that.
And it's funny you mentioned, you talk about the...
How are they going to get it rooted? You know, they got to get something rooted. And Harris is a guy. Right now,
and it's funny you talk about the mistakes. You know, talk about the mistakes that if he makes a mistake, that they're going to throw him under the bus. But the cool thing about it so far is that he has not made a mistake. As a matter of fact, his LSU offense has not made a mistake yet. They have not committed any turnovers in their first three games, which is the first time. And you talk about being a historian. Here's a long stat for you. LSU has not committed a turnover in their first three games this season. The last time LSU didn't commit any turnovers in their first three games, it was 1959. So that just goes to show you how long it's been since LSU has won their first three games without committing a turnover. LSU also extended their winning streak against non-conference opponents in the regular season to 50, and I believe that is an NCAA record. So right now it is a fun time to be an LSU fan.
Well, you said 1959, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so what else does that make? See, that's a little what we call that, SEC wink, where
mm-hmm.
that was their last Heisman Trophy winner. That was Billy Kane.
Exactly. And you are correct, sir. And right now we do have the land as far as through the 4 weeks of the college football season, we do have, in my opinion, the landslide leader for the Heisman Trophy. So, I mean, like you said, unless something traumatic happens somewhere down the line, right now it's Leonard Fournette's trophy to lose. Quickly, update on the polls. LSU moves up one spot to eighth in the Amway coaches poll after Florida State falls to ninth after their bye week. They didn't play anybody yesterday. And then LSU dropped to ninth in the AP poll after UCLA's big win last night. They moved up to seven. So LSU still remaining in the top 10. A quick injury report also. LSU, nothing serious, but LSU defensive end Sean Bauer injured his right foot his foot or his ankle in the game on the game's third play yesterday and was taken in for x-rays that were negative. He returned later in the first half, but he did play sparingly in the second half. True freshman Arden Key got a lot of reps in the second half. Actually, he had a career high of five tackles. Have you gotten a chance to see Arden Key play yet, Daniel?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Have you gotten a chance to really check out Arden Key, the true freshman defensive end this year?
I have not, to be honest. I have not actually got to really pay attention to him.
Well, he is a very he was one of the highly touted not only defensive linemen but true freshmen coming onto the team. They said even in fall practice he was going to get immediate playing time. He's basically right now a smaller version of Warkevius Mingo, but he went from 217, I believe it was, in the spring to 240 pounds in fall camp. So he's very, very similar to a Warkevius Mingo. He has speed, he has length, and he can get to the quarterback very quickly. He did have a career high. He also had a sack against Dak Prescott in the opening game. So, you know, Deshaun Bauer took a minor hit, but Arden Key is one of those guys. You talk about Leonard Fournette being the great player that he is. Arden Key is going to be the great defensive player, at least in my opinion, for LSU over the next 3 years. Let's look at LSU's opponent's results this past weekend, or yesterday, as a matter of fact. Florida defeated Tennessee 28-27 in a wild game. Daniel, did you get a chance to see Florida or Tennessee yesterday?
I've seen some highlights off of that, and I'll tell you this much. I was very shocked at that because, you know, Tennessee, they haven't had anything really going for them, and they've been recruiting really good. So I was kind of actually hoping Tennessee would have pulled that one off, and it always seems like Florida always gets that last bite, right? And, you know, and so it was like last year. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was against Kentucky that Florida had that long stretch of overtime with them, right?
Yeah, they did play Kentucky in overtime. I believe they actually did. You're talking about Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida. Florida and Kentucky, they did go to overtime last year. I believe Florida did win that game. I think the score was like 36-30, if I remember correctly. I was at work watching the game, so I don't remember all of it. But I do remember they did go to overtime. That was a fantastic game.
So when I seen the Tennessee game, I was like, man, come on, you know, just take Florida out. Come on, somebody's got to take Florida out. And they did.
Yeah, well, Florida's
Tennessee's coming back. You know, Tennessee has, you know, they used to be a stronghold in the SEC, you know, at a certain time. And I'm honestly, you know, just to kind of jump off that little subject there, I'm just kind of glad that Alabama's kind of getting a spoonful of medicine right now because it's been
that makes
too long.
Two of us.
And, you know, that's another team that I do make a little bit of, but trust me, I'm purple and gold as far as that goes.
Well, yeah, you talk about how Florida, they've kind of been, last couple years, they've been kind of, you know, mediocre. In 2013, they had that horrible 4-8 season where they even lost to Georgia Southern. And then last year was, you know, just another, it was a better year, but it was bad enough to where they had to fire Will Muschamp. And now Florida has Jim McElwain at head coach. They actually cracked the top 25 this week. They're at number 23 after a 4-0 start. And this week they'll be hosting the third-ranked Rebels of Ole Miss in Gainesville. So that is going to be, in my opinion, one of, if not the game to watch this weekend. Ole Miss got by Vanderbilt 27-16. They also improved to 4-0. A couple of other LSU opponents South Carolina in a couple of weeks. We got to go over there. They defeated Central Florida yesterday, 31-14. Alabama blanks UL Monroe, 34-0. And Texas A&M and Arkansas had a great battle yesterday. And for the second year in a row, Texas A&M gets Arkansas in overtime, 28-21. And now we're looking to this week, Daniel. Eastern Michigan comes to town. They're 1-3 on the season. And a funny little note that I saw here, they're 1-0 on the road, but they're 0-3 at home. So just give us your thoughts on what LSU could possibly do to Eastern Michigan, which, by the way, has the dead last rushing defense in the nation.
Can we say, you know, Leonard knows football, like Bo knows, right? I can say we're going to see something. We're going to see Tecmo Bowl numbers with Leonard Fournette against Eastern Michigan's defense.
Well, you see, so somebody was telling me last week, they were asking me, they said, you know, over or under 150 yards against Syracuse. And I was like, well, duh, it's going to be over. And they were like, well, no, I think it's going to be under because they might be so far ahead that they sit Leonard Fournette after he gets about 120, 125. But that surely wasn't the case. And, you know, Eastern Michigan, I honestly believe that will be the case because I looked at the line and LSU is favored by – I think the opening line was 43.5 points. So, yeah, if LSU's up by, let's say, 24, 30 at halftime, then I certainly expect, you know, I don't know, Leonard Fournette could get 125, he could get 225 at this point. I have a feeling he better at least get 100 because with the expectations that he set, these LSU fans might get a little cranky if he doesn't even hit 100 or 125. So.
Well, that's them, you know, I know we got some diehard fans, you know, but we also, you know, just like every other team, we got fair weather fans. The expectations is one thing, but it's getting the job done and getting it done right is the other, you know. And what we, you know, just like everybody else, we want to win and we want to see our players achieve, you know, high success rates, you know. But the thing is Fournette's not the showboat type of guy. He's a team player. He, you know, he's very respectful to everybody else. You know, and that was just to kind of backtrack on that with Fournette, like I was saying, just being, you know, being so respectful, he doesn't like the spotlight too much. That's like with the figurine. He was the first person I showed and, you know, and I don't want to be on here, you know, pointing fingers and stuff, but you know, he knows the rules and everything. I wasn't too overly familiar with, you know, the compliance office and everything. So more than likely, I know Leonard Fournette was like, hey, this is out there of me. Let's contact this guy and tell him to cease. And I'm perfectly fine with that. With that being said, you know, we've got guys in the backfield, you know, so I want to see what he does too, you know, because he's young and he's up and coming and he's going to learn from Fournette. So, you know, why not share the field with such greatness there? So if he gets pulled in the first half, that's fine, you know. We got so many games down the road. Let's just enjoy it and see what this cat can do.
Well, Daniel, I agree with you about Geis. Geis could be the next Fournette as far as I'm concerned. But look, Daniel, we're running out of time. It's about time for me to wrap it up here. I want to tell everybody to remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Also, go like Cajun Custom Figurines. Daniel, we'll be able to hook you up with some cool figurines. Daniel, thanks for joining us. This week, the Tigers will host Eastern Michigan at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. The game will be televised by ESPNU at 6 p.m. So, Daniel, thanks again for joining us. Hope you have a good one. Remember, go like Cajun Custom Figurines. That is custom with a K. Go like the Facebook page. Daniel will hook you up with the coolest figurines of LSU players. Until then, folks, have a good week and go Tigers.
Thank you for having me.